Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It's good to see everyone this morning as we celebrate on this Resurrection Sunday on Easter morning. And it's so good to see everybody together. This morning, just a couple of announcements. On one side, you'll see on the back side of your bulletin, you see the honor and memorials for Lily's. And of course, following the service, please feel free to take your Lily with you. And then this morning, it is Easter Sunday. It's been a crazy year. We've had to worship in different ways. We can't open everything wide open yet, but on Easter Sunday, we're going to add singing, back congregational singing, back to our worship service. So the words to your hymns are on the inside pages of your insert. So please keep that close by you. Are there announcements that we should make this morning that have not been made? If not, it is always a joy when the Lord calls His people together, so let us come and worship His most holy name. Gracious and loving Lord, we thank You that indeed You are with us, and we enter in this service celebrating the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So we pray that as we do, our hearts and minds are open, that You receive our thanksgiving, our praise, our worship, our adoration, and that our hearts are in that place where we might receive whatever it is You would speak to each one of us. As we proceed, we pray that this service is pleasing to Your sight and hearing, and that it strengthens Your people. In Jesus' most holy name we pray. Amen.
Would you stand now as we finally sing, Jesus Christ is risen today.
Thank you.
as we go to prayer this morning, as always, we have our prayer list in our bulletin. Do want to highlight a few this morning. Charles Sims spent some time in the hospital this past week. He has some internal bleeding. They found it. They have corrected it. And he is back home and feeling better. So we are glad to report that. Haynes asked that we remember his family and his sister's family, in particular Susan Taylor. Her transition to glory is close. She will be passing away in the next 24 hours, it would appear, at this time. And so remember Susan Taylor, Haynes' sister, and their family in the most special way. And continue to remember Dale Phillips this morning. Bill informs me, I know Bill's here somewhere, Bill. Bill tells me that Dale's numbers are looking better, still has a long way to go, but we are now in the place where we are cautiously optimistic that he might be able to have the surgery that he needs after all. So we pray that that continues and becomes the case. Are there joys or concerns that should be voiced that were not?
My family's here.
Amen. It's good. I see several families here this morning, and it's great. It's great to see you all this morning. Absolutely. Good to see everybody together. Are there others this morning? If not, let us pray. Our most gracious and loving Lord, as we participate in this time of worship, words fail us in expressing our praise and our thanksgiving. For this Sunday in particular reminds us that not only did you love us enough that Jesus died on the cross to atone for our sins, to pay the price of its punishment, but he arose and he defeated that sin and defeated that death and defeated all of the things of life that the adversary would use to try to sap the joy and purpose from us. So, Lord, you know the hearts of your people. Read our hearts. Speak to our hearts as we know that your spirit communes with our spirit. For our hearts are overjoyed. They overflow with praise and thanksgiving that we are unable to express. But we pray that as your heart communes with our heart, that you experience that and you are pleased by what you see. We thank you this morning that it's in the power of your resurrection that we bring before you names that you already know. Names of persons that have suffered from prolonged illness, Lord. We pray that they feel your loving arms wrapped around them right now and they feel and experience the confidence of your resurrection as they continue to battle. Persons who are looking to surgeries and tests and the like, Lord, we thank you for your resurrection power that sees us through those times. And Lord, for those facing death to this life, for the one who has believed in you, they are now anticipating the time in which they transition from this temporal life to life eternal with you. But Lord, we know that those who are left behind still grieve. But Lord, we pray that those who grieve, they grieve, but grieve in hope and grieve in peace because of your resurrection. We thank you as always that we have the freedom and that we do as we have been able to assemble for worship this morning, and not only to assemble for worship, but the choice to choose where we went or if we went at all. And so, Lord, we just thank you for that freedom. We Pray that we are always reminded of its privilege and responsibility, and that we never forget those who take on that ultimate responsibility and standing in that gap between us and danger. May your protection be upon those who protect us in civilian and military roles. May your healing be upon the wounded, the physical wounds, and those wounds that so often go unseen in the heart, soul, and mind. And Lord, we pray that your peace is upon the families whose loved one made that ultimate sacrifice. And Lord, we do thank you for the family of God that gathers at Walker Church. We thank you that together we worship you, together we serve you, together we encourage each other, together we attempt to fulfill the Christian life. And we pray that when we leave these grounds that we will be reminded. We know that you are, but may we be conscious of your presence with us as we go through every step and breath of life. Lead, guide, and direct our every thought, word, and deed. And bring us back so that we will worship you and encourage one another. We offer our prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to say when we would pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Gracious and loving Lord, your people have brought back a portion of the gifts you first lavished upon us. We do ask that your blessings continue upon each gift and each giver, and that you guide us as a congregation, that every penny that has been entrusted is used according to your will to further your kingdom in this community and throughout the world. In Jesus' most holy name we pray. Amen. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. thank you all so much. I want to thank the praise team for getting up early this morning and providing music for us and leading in music at our sunrise service. And I want to thank our bell choir and Putt and Sally for the music here in our 10 o'clock service. So thank you all very much. Our scripture lesson this morning is 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 12 through 20. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 12 through 20. Paul writing says, "Now if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our proclamation has been in vain and your faith has been in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God, because we testified of God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised. If Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have died in Christ have perished. If for this life only we have hoped in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have died." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. A pastor was lost on an unpaved, unmarked road in West Texas. So he stopped at a farmhouse to ask directions, and he received the following directions from the little boy that answered the door. He said, "Go right down the big road for several miles. It is plenty sandy and rough. Sometimes you'll bog down and get stuck, but keep on going until you get to the graveyard. Go right through the graveyard, and just on the other side, you will come to a paved highway. Turn right, and the place you are looking for is just around the corner. When you get to the paved road beyond the graveyard, your troubles will be over." The pastor was an elderly gentleman, and as he followed the directions, he began to think. And he said, "I'm traveling down the rough road of life. Sometimes it seems that I almost bog down. After I travel life's road for a few more miles, I'll come to the graveyard. When I do, my troubles will be over, for God's highway and the heavenly home are just on the other side of the cemetery." Contrast that view of eternity with that of the father of psychology, Sigmund Freud. In a little book called The Future of an Illusion, Freud contends that as society matures, we will outgrow what he calls our primitive need for religion. He contends that religion has fulfilled a need in society because there are many things that humans don't understand. But as we become more knowledgeable, and as we become more advanced, we'll grow to a place where, as he states it, we no longer need this primitive illusion as a crutch. So I ask you this morning, I know we're in church, so it almost seems like a no-brainer question, but I'm still going to ask it. Is the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the promised resurrection of his followers a fervent hope or a grand illusion? The first century church at Corinth was having a hard time with this resurrection thought. Some doubted that Jesus was resurrected. Others did believe that Jesus was resurrected, but they just couldn't entertain the thought of regular human beings being resurrected. And so, stressing the crucial nature of the resurrection to the Christian faith, Paul declares in verse 19, if only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all people. Take away the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and the heart of Christianity has been removed. If there is no resurrection, anything we do in the name of Jesus is based on a grand but sad illusion. So Paul stresses in verse 20 that indeed Jesus has been raised. Now, John, isn't this kind of a weird sermon to be preaching in church on Easter Sunday morning when the church has more people than we have in a long time? Isn't it kind of odd that people who come to church on Sunday morning to be asking them if they really do believe in the resurrection? I hope so. But still, I present it to you because most people will verbally affirm this belief. But I'm convinced that the way we conduct our daily lives says far more about whether for us the concept of the resurrection is our fervent hope, or if deep down where we wouldn't tell anybody else, we see it as a grand delusion. And one of the major ways to measure our apparent belief is by the atmosphere of the worship service. Now, before I go any further, I am not talking about style. You can have very vibrant worship regardless of the style. And you can have very dead gatherings called worship, regardless of style. So I'm not talking about style. I'm referring to our attitude and our demeanor as we worship. The first century Christians, as most of you probably already know, the first century Christians began worshiping on Sunday because Jesus was resurrected on Sunday. Most of us break the Sabbath every week because Saturday is the Sabbath. Today is the first day of the week. The Christian church started worshiping on Sunday because Jesus was resurrected on Sunday. Every account of the resurrection records Jesus as having been raised on the first day of the week, which is Sunday. Every Sunday was a celebration of the resurrection of Jesus. Compare this with the enthusiasm that so many congregations enter worship. I remember one church. Loved the people to death. Cried when we felt like it was time to move. But bless their hearts. For those of y'all who are not from the South, bless your heart, covers a lot of territory. But bless their hearts. I was young and enthusiastic. Big dreams. Thrilled to be at church. And I'd go in, I'd say, good morning, how are you? Well, I'm tired. But I'm here. Remember Eeyore from Winnie the Pooh? Church full of Eeyores. Bless their hearts. I know I have mentioned this congregation more than once. But when I was going to theology school, I knew I was going to be serving this particular church for 3 years unless I flunked out, which thank the Lord I didn't. So I was serving a two-point charge or a two-church charge while I was going to theology school. And Sally and I walked in that first Sunday, and they were social distancing before it was a requirement. There were probably 15, 20 pews in that church, give or take. One person sat on each different pew. Except for the one married couple that I guess they felt forced to sit together. Talk about scowls. Every one of those people were either mad or sad. Well, part of our projects of going through theology school, if you were serving churches, was we had to set goals for our churches, and we had to report our goals and our progress. But they stressed that, look, we know the churches you're serving, every church can't have the same type of goals. You got to set your goals depending on your opportunities, your challenges. You know what my goal was? That was the first one. The second goal was, before my 3 years is up, sounds like a prison sentence, don't it? Before my 3 years is up, we're going to smile when we come to worship as much as I can facilitate that. Well, I'm glad to say that by the time my 3 years were up, some were smiling when we worshiped. But you know what the real, truly sad thing is in all of this? These two congregations are more representative of what we encounter so many times in church than we care to realize. They are closer so many times to normal than what we want to admit. Many people enter the worship service of the Almighty God with a joy and enthusiasm one exhibits going to get a root canal. If Jesus is raised from the dead, if Jesus is alive, if Jesus has defeated evil, if Jesus has defeated sin, if Jesus has defeated death, how can we who call ourselves Christians enter worship down in the mouth? Amen. Choir directors will not have to instruct choir members to smile when they're singing, and we will one day have a choir again.
Praise God.
Praise God, from whom all blessings flow.
Soon.
Soon, Lord, we hope. Can't promise, but we're going to get there. Ushers will not have to be instructed to smile and the like. They are greeting fellow believers and possible seekers as we're preparing to worship and celebrate the risen Christ. Congregation should not have to be coaxed to life. When I get up on Sunday morning, I shouldn't have to try to get up and feel like a football coach and try to give y'all a pep talk and wake y'all up.
But it's awful nice if you do.
Yeah. It's Sunday morning. It's the celebration of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We're entering the worship service to celebrate that Jesus is alive regardless of how crazy the world gets.
Don't stop.
Now, there's no such thing as a dull worship service. You may say, well, John, you've never heard any of your sermons. If it is dull, it is because we are not worshiping. There is no such thing as a run-of-the-mill Sunday. Jesus is alive. Jesus is in control. So can we help but celebrate? Consider Easter Sunday morning. Many who do not normally attend worship do so on that day. And I do not recall any droopy faces. Folks are enthusiastic. Easter Sunday is a wonderful, exciting time. And I believe the attraction is far more than showing off new clothes or ushering in spring. I believe that in the depths of the soul of even the marginal Christian, there is a realization of the beauty and the excitement of life because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and that realization must be celebrated. Now imagine if we celebrated every Sunday like we do on Easter Sunday. There's no reason not to. In fact, there is every reason to be inspired to do so. If every Sunday is a celebration of our relationship with the resurrected Christ, Sunday will be different. Sunday will not be the last day of the weekend. Sunday will be the day that energizes us and prepares us for the remaining 6 days. Sunday will energize us and motivate us to approach the remainder of this week with all of its opportunities and challenges in a positive, healthy, hope-filled state of mind. Not only will Sunday become a weekly celebration, the resurrection will lead us to a life of unquenchable hope. Further down in verse 23, Paul stresses that Jesus was the first to be eternally raised from the dead, and hence all that place their faith and trust in Jesus Christ will be eternally raised. The resurrection of Jesus declares that we can live with hope and confidence. We do so because Jesus has already defeated the most dreaded enemy of humanity, death itself. So I ask you again, is the resurrection real to you? In the deepest places of your being that determines who you are, do you believe in the resurrection? If the resurrection is real to you, consider a thought. Can there be such a thing as a negative, despairing, fearful Christian? Christians face the same heartaches as everybody else. Christians face the same harshness of life that it can dish out to all human beings. Even so, we approach life differently because of the resurrection, even in the midst of tears of grief. We live through a life-giving hope that cannot be shattered, even by life's most cruel blows. During World War II, there was a church in London that was all set up for a Thanksgiving celebration. In the center of the gifts of fresh produce, there was a basket of corn. However, the service was never conducted. Saturday night, before the Sunday that the service was scheduled to take place, the church was destroyed in a bombing raid. The following spring, though, folks started noticing shoots. Green shoots were growing on the site of the ruins of the church building. The shoots continued to grow through the summer. And in the fall, there was a flourishing patch of corn growing in the midst of the ruins. Even in the most difficult of circumstances, the resurrection power of Jesus enables the Christian to rise above, even to the point of growing and flourishing, even in the midst of the ruins of life. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future. And life is worth the living. Just because He lives.
Amen.
Let us pray. Our most gracious and loving Lord, We thank you so much this morning for your resurrection. And at least as the one who tried to present the message, I wish I could say that I always practice what I just preach, but sadly I don't. There might be some others in here who resemble that remark. But Lord, I just pray that on this day, that this day might be the beginning of new life, even for us who have loved you and tried to serve you for years. That hope that springs eternal, that hope that never fades, that joy and that enthusiasm for life now and life to come would spring forth in a new way. And so, gracious Lord, you know every single person that came here this morning. You know what it is that they needed to hear from you. I just pray that whatever they needed to hear from you this morning, that has been their experience, and that this day will be the beginning of new life, even for us longtime Christians. In Jesus' most holy name we pray. Amen.
Would you stand together as we sing our final hymn, Up From the Grave He Arose?
Of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of His Holy Spirit be with you all, now and forevermore. Amen.